welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Father, if we spent 5 seconds, we could think of something that shows how great you are. So I thank you, God. Do what you want to do this morning, Father. Say what you want to say. I'm so thankful that you're here. You are here thick, and I'm so thankful for honoring us with your presence, God. Thank you. Spend time with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I really like that song. That's a good one. That is a really, 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 really good song. How great is our God? How great. God is great when you get an elk or if you don't get an elk. You know, He's good. Every time. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, vote on Tuesday. Pray who to vote for. That's all I'm going to say about that, okay? Just feel like I am obligated to say something about the election. So that is what I wanted to say. I'm not going to preach about it because I'm sure everyone else is. Not a lot to say about it. Just pray. Spend 4 seconds praying and you will... I apologize. 2 seconds. God is good. And can I tell you something? Whoever the president is, God is good. I mean, it's irrelevant. It really is. I was thinking about this morning. Donald Trump's not on the throne. Joe Biden's not on the throne. God's on the throne. That's all that matters. That literally is all that matters. So, I mean, people get ate up with it. And I know it impacts us, but not where it counts. If your house is built on the election, then it will shake. But if your house is built on the rock, you're fine. So, God is good. All right, sermon one. Sermon two. We're going to spend some time talking this morning. Well, let me just start reading. I got a lot of word this morning. I'm going to start reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. I'm sure maybe you guys have heard a sermon similar to this, but God put it on my heart. I want to preach about it. Mark chapter 10, we're going to scoot down to verse 13, read a few. Also, while you're looking, just want to say thank you. There's so many people that do so much around here and don't get a penny for it. Thank you for all that you guys do. You guys are blessed, and we are unbelievably blessed to have you guys. We have the most unbelievable people here. And I don't say that enough. Thank you. If I said it every day, it wouldn't be enough. Thank you, guys. Everybody, you know who you are. I guess I could just say everyone's name in this building right now and probably be right. Because there's so many people that do so much around here. Just big, little, everything. Thank you. Verse 13. One day, some parents... This is New Living. I think I'm reading out of the New Living and the English Standard mostly today. So if I'm a little different than you, that's why. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. And when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. God likes kids. He's a big fan. And actually, the title this morning is "The Kingdom is for Children." And I want to talk about some attributes of children. Let me tell you, there are pros and cons. There are pro attributes, and I mean, kids are kids. I was a perfect child. Don't laugh so hard, Grandma. Gosh. No, my parents have both told the story. I would literally go to the kitchen, grab a knife, walk up to them, put the knife behind my back, and just say, I don't have a knife. I would love to go back and ask that little boy, what are you doing? I guess I thought, what's the most dangerous thing? Yeah, I'll just go pick it up. You know, that was my... Yeah. So, yeah, pro kids have good attributes and negative attributes. But you know what kids will do? If they need help, they'll ask for it. Let me tell you right now, there are times in my life when I need help, and I do not ask for it. I'll tell you, a good attribute of a kid is when they need help, they'll ask for it. Now, sometimes it's annoying as a parent. That's all I'll say about that. I'll read some verses here. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Why would he say that if he didn't want your cares? He wants most your worry. Give all the big worries and cares to God. That's what it says, right? No. Give all of them. Give all your worries, big and little. Ask for help. Matthew 11:28 says, then Jesus said, and I'm sorry, I've got so much, I'm not going to give you all time to just watch the live stream later if you want all these verses. Or ask me, I'll send them all to you, I don't care. Matthew 11:28, then Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. He wants us to give our problems to him, and he wants us to take his problems. Let me tell you right now, his yoke is easy, because he did all the work. He's fixed he's good. He wants that easy yoke. Now, what does that mean? Okay, does that mean life is easy? No, of course not. But again, just like I said about the election, if our lives are built on that rock, then the problems don't shake us. So that's the yoke. That's what he wants, is for us to build our lives on his truth, so that's what is moving us. That's what's giving us life. We need his yoke. Deuteronomy 33, there's verse 26, there's no one like the God of Israel. He rides across the heavens to help you, across the skies in majestic splendor. I found that's so cool. I like that. He rides across the heavens to help you. That's a cool thought. That's a fun picture. He rides to help us. I like that. I really like that. You know what else kids are? They are curious. Very, very curious. Very curious. Annoyingly curious. If you've been around kids very long, they say the word why a lot. Or what? What is that? Why is it like that? Why is this? They're very curious. And God loves curiousness, because God wants us to say, why, God? What about this? He wants us to go after him. We're going to read some scripture about that. He loves that pursuit, that curiosity. Now, obviously, we can take that the wrong way and question him whenever he tells us to do something. I'm talking about the deep things in the kingdom, the secrets that God literally says, I want to show you. I want to give you these things. Just come and get them. I love that. My kids, they do ask a lot of questions. They give me a lot of hypotheticals. It's funny. Dad, if this happens and this happens, what? And I usually like, I don't know. Don't worry about it. Like, it's all good. They ask a lot of questions. And I promise you, if you will ask questions to God and pursue him, he will give you the answers. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." This is my favorite scripture in the Bible. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." If you are seeking and living righteously, he'll give you everything you need. Everything you need. Hebrews 11:6 says, "It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." He rewards those who sincerely seek him. So our curiousness, our curiosity in spiritual things will be rewarded. It will. Just pursue. Just pursue. This is going to be a really fun one to talk about. You know what kids do at an unnatural level? Forgive. They are unbelievable about forgiving. It's crazy. I can have the worst attitude. I can have the worst day. Come home and they can say, you know, "Dad, can you help me with this?" And I'm like, "Not right now. Stop. Just give me a minute." And I'm like, "Gosh, should I?" I mean, they were nice. And I come back. I'm like, and I put myself in their shoes sometimes. I'm like, if I said to them, sorry, if someone said to me what I said to them, and then they came and apologized, I'd be like, "Okay, whatever. But I mean, you did what you did. Give me a few minutes." You know, like I need some time sometimes to forgive. My kids are like, I'm like, "I'm sorry earlier about that, guys. I apologize." "Okay, Dad. Can we do it?" I wasn't expecting, I mean, I was waiting for a few minutes of you being mad or something. Okay, well, it's funny because they just, and I obviously, I talk about kids in this way. Kids that have ornery parents are usually ornery kids. And so, you know, some of the kids maybe don't forgive as quickly because mom and dad don't forgive as quickly. But all the good kids is what I'm talking about this morning, okay? Not all the bad ones. I'm just kidding. But it is crazy how quick they are to forgive. Like I said, good days, bad days. My kids love me. I'm going to talk about a moment that I really don't want to, but I'm going to because it's relevant. We came home from Florida, a couple, 3 weeks ago. I don't even remember anymore. But we got home late, and we were all tired. We had a flight that morning, a long, like, four-hour layover, and then had a two-hour flight. It was just a long day. We were up early and traveled all day. And if you've traveled, you know, it's very exhausting. You just sit around, but it's just so exhausting. I don't know why. So we get home, and they were bickering, and I was bickering. We were all mad. And we walk in, and I look, and I go, we're taking all the luggage. I'm trying to remember all the details. We're taking all the luggage to the back and putting everything up, and I hear one of my kids yell. And that brings something out of me. You know, when your kid screams in pain, you know what I mean? Not my best moment, right? But so I go back, and I guess one of the kids was leaning in the doorway. The other kid bent down, shut the door, and, like, popped their head or something. And it just, and after all day long, so much tension, I was like, "Just go to," I mean, I yelled it. I'm a loud person. I yelled it. I said, "Just go to bed." And, of course, what did the arm? The door, right? And so I kicked the door, and you know the doors that have they have the two squares in them, you know, like the old-fashioned looking doors. Well, the bottom square, I kicked it, and it's not in the door anymore. I kicked a hole right in the door. It's not my greatest moment, but I said, "Go to bed." Boom, and I kicked that door, and that square flew through. Now we have a doggy door and the kids' door. But and of course, you know, in the moment, I was mad. So I go to the room, and I immediately realize how stupid that was. And Julie's sitting there, and I'm like, "Well, I just kicked a hole in the door." She's like, kind of smiled at me because it's just goofy. And I go back to apologize, and they just, it was like nothing happened. "Guys, I shouldn't have done that." Okay. It's like no big deal. So quick to forgive. And I just crack up thinking about that moment. I am usually a patient person, but that was just not a great moment for me and not a great moment for the door. So, and or my toe for that matter. But just there's, I just love that. Thinking about that night, they were just so quick to forgive. And, you know, if somebody reacted that way around me, I probably would have not even let them walk away before I started chirping how wrong they were. And my kids just, they were very forgiving. I want to read some scripture here about it. I have a lot of, I mean, there's, it's not hard to find scripture that encourages us or commands us to forgive. But Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Mark 11 says, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, stand. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Anything against anyone. That, he could have worded that a little nicer, you know, a little easier for us. Anyone means anyone. Anyone means jerks. Anyone means really big jerks. There's a level of jerk. There really is. Anyone means anyone. And, by the way, anything means anything. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us. There's so much scripture in the Word that says, forgive because I forgave. I love that about God. He tells us to do stuff because he's been there and he's done that. Have faith. Jesus had a lot of faith. Jesus had no doubt. I guess I should quantify his faith by the lack of doubt. All faith. So that when he challenges us to believe, he doesn't know what it's like not to believe. It's good. And then for the church family, Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It really, it's not a encouragement. Well, sorry. It's not something that he's encouraging us to do. It really is something that we are obligated to do. He already did what needed to be done for us to be forgiven. And also, let me say this. His sacrifice on the cross made grace available to us so that we can forgive. So not only did he forgive us, but he also gave us the ability to forgive, which is pretty cool. So he's done all the work. Again, like every other time. He's done the work, and then he did the work so that we could do the work. That needs to be on a t-shirt or something. That's good. How good is he? My goodness. Couple more attributes. You know what kids are? They're empathetic, not pathetic, empathetic and loving. They have empathy and love. Now, sometimes I don't know about you, sometimes I get empathy and sympathy mixed up. Empathy is whenever you get down on that level of that person that is struggling, that is hurting. You get down with them. Sympathy is feeling sorry for them. Empathy is getting down with them and crying with them and hurting with them. And I know kids can be bullies. I am very aware of that. But there are so many kids that when they see a hurting person, they don't look at their skin color. They don't look at what they look like. It's irrelevant to them. All that matters to them, oh, that person's sad. I don't want them to be sad. And they go to them and they love them. They get down to that level and they say, hey, can I help you? And that's the call. That when God says, let the kids come, we got to be like kids. We have to love like kids love. Kids love without strings attached. It's such a pure love. their love for their friends, for their family, for their grandparents, for everybody, for their siblings. Now, I know sibling love is different, because that is ugly love sometimes. But I can tell you from experience, me and Rusty fought almost every day. But man, I'll never forget the times, plural, where one of us, either him or me, would be getting in a fight in the playground, and there was no question who I was going to stand up with. I think I jumped on a kid's back once, and I bit the kid right in the neck like an animal. And I had a chipped tooth growing up, so it was like a razor. I could bring blood so easy. So, but that was the truth. If he, you know, we were ornery, and we fought each other so much. But definitely growing up, you know, there was so much love for each other that, man, there nothing, very little. You know, when one of us got hurt in sports, you know, our hearts just broke for each other. We were the first ones out there. It's so funny how sibling love is. But that's the love that God is calling us to have. You know, maybe we get a little bit of that sometimes. You know, when you're around people a lot, that's whenever the chippiness happens, right? When you're around people a lot. And sometimes, well, I guess we all love each other right now because we haven't been around each other very much lately. But if we had revival for a few months in a row, I'm sure little things start to annoy us. But the truth is, when somebody is around us saying something negative about our church family, we should definitely be the first ones to stop that and say, hey, that's my brother, that's my sister. I don't agree with everything they do, but man, that's my family. And if somebody gets to badmouth them, it's me. I'm just kidding. But that's that family love that God is calling us to have. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. So that's a good way to end that. When we think we know it all, it makes it difficult for people to love us, you know? So if you spend any time in Proverbs, you'll learn that people that think they know it all usually don't, and people that want to know more listen. I tell the kids all the time, how do you get wisdom? Wise people? God? The Bible. I guess God and the Bible can be the same thing. So smart people and the Bible, not in that order. The Bible comes first. That's where your wisdom comes from. And then other people that are spending time in the Bible can feed you wisdom. So that's a whole nother sermon. I'm sorry. But that's, I'm telling you, it's important, that empathy and love. Galatians 6 verse 2, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I did not paraphrase that. That's New Living. That's funny. You're not that important. That's kind of a 2020 version there. You're not that important. That's good. You know, it is, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this. People that struggle, people that are having rough days, it's easy when they are struggling to look at them and tell them how you would do things. That's not empathy. It's easy to tell them what they should do. And you know what? That's okay, but you have to get to their level for them to receive. It's really easy when somebody's struggling to say, well, here's the deal. You just need to pray more. But instead of telling them, if you would get on their level, grab their hand and pray with them, that's the empathy I mean, kids, obviously kids, when somebody scrapes their knee, a rough kid will say, get up, quit crying, right? Because that's what mom and dad did. And that's probably what I would say. I do say that to my kids, stop crying. But it's a lot easier for them to receive if we will get on their level, show them love, show them empathy, so that I realize them receiving your love isn't always up to you. I know some people just can't receive it. Some people are not in a place. But the love that God is calling us to give to people and to show it doesn't fluctuate on other people. God doesn't challenge us to love based on everyone else. God challenges us to love because He loved, so we love. If they receive it, great. If they don't, whatever. It's not their job, it's not your job to make them receive it. It's your job just to give it. No strings attached. No stipulations. Let me tell you right now. People like stipulations. People like rules about love. Okay, I'll do this, but don't. No buts. Love. Let me read Galatians 6 again. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. God wants no strings love, I guess would be one way to put it. Moving on. Good love. Okay, the last one that actually is in the first verse we read. Yeah. What do kids have that is unbelievable? That probably I might want this more than any other attribute a kid has. Is faith. Man, kids believe. My goodness, kids have faith. In things that you know aren't going to work. Now, I'm fully aware that a lot of times childlike faith is just ignorance, okay? And when I say faith, I'm not just talking about spiritual faith. I'm talking about, like, believing that if they get a bag of chips that has a prize on the front that they're going to believe that, even though it's one in a million. You know what I mean? Oh, great example. We were watching some YouTubers yesterday, and they had so many people watch them, and they were giving a ton of stuff away if you would just watch. But they were giving a bunch of stuff if you would buy a t-shirt. You buy a t-shirt, you get your name and a drawing. Buy a t-shirt, you get your name and a drawing. I mean, they were giving away like iPads and drones and cars, giving thousands of dollars of stuff away. So guess what my kids wanted to do? Buy a t-shirt. The t-shirts are $40 and $15 shipping. It is a black t-shirt with writing on the front. Yeah, no, my goodness, not times five. But they had such faith because what they saw they just buy a t-shirt. Got a good chance. I mean, I know there's 100,000 people watching it, but there's a chance. Like, you're right, there is a chance. I didn't buy a shirt. No, I did not. I love my kids. Now, they also gave some free stuff away to people that were just watching, and we watched, and we didn't win anything. But that's okay. We still watched, because we had a little faith. They had more faith than me, obviously. But it's really easy to have that glass half empty attitude about stuff. It really is. And you know what? We can even talk ourselves into it being the truth. Now, I'm obviously stuff like that. Use wisdom. And you know what? If you got $40, do what you want. Whatever. It's your money. But my kids just have so much faith. And it's because they haven't been jaded by the world. They haven't been, that's the best way. A lot of us, if not all of us, there's definitely, the world has beaten reality into ourselves so much You know, I was just this morning, I have a filling that fell out of my tooth, not this morning, but it's been out for a while. I buy that little stuff, put it up there, and it like fills it for a while, and then it falls out eventually. Well, it's annoying. Can I tell you, it's been going on for like 2 months. You know how many times I've prayed for God to heal that filling? Not a once. Because it wasn't like a little pain that God has healed before. This was like an actual, like a real fit. Like, what's, like physical, not physical, like, it's a hole in my tooth. And when I think about healing, I don't think about like a miracle, you know. I just assumed I'm just going to have a dentist fix it. Never even thought about God just filling my tooth, like that's some impossibility. Why didn't I think about that? Why didn't I pray one time for 2 months? Because I accept a lot of my problems. Because the world, you know what I'm saying? How many times in our life have we looked at a situation and not even given God a thought about fixing that? I'm not bashing us. I'm just saying I look at my problems like they're mine so many times. Even though any problem is a worry. And all worries God wants. I promise you, God doesn't want me messing, because I'm messing with it right now. Yeah, it's so annoying. God doesn't want me to be annoyed by my tooth. He does, definitely doesn't want pain in my tooth. I don't have any yet, thank you, Lord. And it won't hurt, because it's just going to fill up one day. I believe it today. Why not? Why? I need childlike faith. Kids just believe. That this crazy idea that when God says he's going to do something, he'll do it. That's like the craziest thing, right? It sounds so simple, but that is so true. God wants to help us in everything. If my tire is flat, before I even think about changing it, I should spend at least 2 seconds giving God that worry. God, Lord, if you want me to fix it. If you want to fill it right now, that would be cool. And I'd love to watch, because that sounds pretty awesome. But God, just take this worry right now. Because why not? I know that sounds so goofy. But the only reason it sounds goofy is because I have this mess. Lord, I'm trying not to be negative. My mind has been altered by the world. And I don't want it to be. So Lord, will you slap me in the head whenever I have a problem? So that I remember to give it to you? Because you've told me to do that? Every worry. And when I give it, just have a little faith. Have a little faith. I like mustard a lot. I'm a brat guy. Love a good brat. Love brats. So good. And get a good brat, cook it up, put a little mustard on top. It's just, ugh. Thank you, Jesus. I have this one mustard, and they just took the seeds and just mashed them and threw them in a bottle. It's very kind of rough, and the seed shell stuff is in there. It's such good mustard. And there's a lot of shells. And it's because they're so little, you got to mash a bunch of them to get some mustard. And I love that that is the example God gives us at the amount of faith he calls for. That must have been a funny moment, because he could have said whatever he wanted. But he said, you know what? Mustard seed. That's a good one. He could have said flea, tick. Could have said toenail, pebble. Could have said, nope, let's do the mustard seed. It's a good one. Because it's real. It's ridiculously small. And God just wanted to show us how good he is. That's a whole nother sermon. Lord, give me childlike faith. And remind me to stand on that faith. Romans 1:17 says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. I just want to read that again. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. It's accomplished from start to finish by faith. Start to finish by faith. Beginning to end, faith. James 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way. Dear brothers and sisters, when the filling falls out of your tooth. Oh man, I shouldn't have said that, because the next part says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That's funny. All right, I didn't plan that one. I apologize. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. We have to grow. We have to grow. We need opportunities for faith, so that our endurance has a chance to grow. We need it. So, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Well, okay. I mean, if you believe it, believe it. When our endurance is fully developed, when our faith has been tested and our endurance has developed, this is messing me up. God is calling for us to have faith so our endurance can be tested, so that when it grows, let me read that again. When it's fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. When we ask, have faith. When we struggle, have faith. When we doubt, have faith. Because all those opportunities are endurance growing. So that we can get to that point when the filling falls out or when the tire goes flat. It's not even, there's no moment of despair. Oh, okay. Actually, when we get to that point of the tire, we go out in the morning, you got a whole plan ahead for the day, and the tire's flat, and your first thought is, what a great opportunity for joy. Well, praise the Lord. Now that is a good place. Anybody here there yet? Anybody, any takers on complete perfection? It's good though. But that's, I'm telling you, that's the path. When you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. This is not fun, but this is the truth. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. I didn't write that this morning. It's not me. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Man, James, take it easy. Golly. Faith. Let's stand. Everybody stand. Those are my four attributes I wanted to spend some time talking about this morning. Four, childlike attributes. Admitting they need help. Curiosity. Love. And faith. Four things kids do that it is very easy as adults that we can talk ourselves out of. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. You know what? It's all good. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. I don't even need to worry. I don't need to be curious about it. I don't need to. I'm just whatever. I'm busy. I don't need to search right now. I'm busy. That person is always got a problem. I don't have enough time right now. There's always something. And then that last one, faith. It is so easy to let the world dictate our thought and our faith. You know what? I let it for at least two months. My tooth has been like this. It's so funny. This morning, I'm sitting in worship, and I felt it again. And it was like God just flicked me on the back of the head and said, "You have not prayed one time about that. One time." And listen, if my foot hurts, I'll pray. If I lose my keys, I'll pray. But stuff that's like, it's just something that I just assume has to be fixed by a doctor, I don't even give it a thought. And that's so wrong. God wants the worries. Every worry. Why can't he fix my tooth? You can't give me one reason. Because there isn't one. He wants to. Big or little, in your life, everyone around here, I promise you, you can probably think of something in your life that you haven't asked help for, and you should. So just do it. I tell the kids all the time, why not? What do you got to lose? Pray and read your Bible every day. You got a few minutes every day. Why not? Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that it won't help you. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that prayer for him. Listen, God does whatever he wants and he works however he wants. Could he use a dentist to fix it and God opened the door for a friendship? Obviously, I know Pastor Barry had back problems and he prayed and prayed, but God did whatever he wanted. He wanted to use that. He wanted ministry. He wanted friendship. And that, okay, sometimes God's plan isn't always fun and how we plan it. But he still is telling us to give everything to him. And don't do it with strings attached. Okay, I'll start doing it, Lord, but you better. I need 1,000% batting average from you, okay? I need you, and I'll give you 2 days on this tooth. No. Pray. Give it to him. And don't take it back. That's a whole nother sermon. Once you give it, don't take it back. Let him have it. Let him have it. God, we need your help, Father. That challenge, God. That challenge you gave us in Mark. Bring all the kids to me. You have to have the heart of a child to see the kingdom, Lord. That challenge, Father. I pray, God, let that be real in my life. God, start challenging my attitude and my mindsets that aren't childlike enough, God. Father, start reminding me every day those things that I've just been scarred. The world has altered my mind and you want to fix it, God. Lord, I want to give everything to you, God. I want to love the way kids love. I want to forgive the way kids forgive, God. And I want to seek you. I want to be curious about you, Lord. The way children are curious about things, God. I want to ask you why. I want to dig deep, Father. I want to find your secrets that you want to give us, Father. God, help me to pursue you in a way that a child would pursue. God, I want to thank you for these amazing people this morning. And I pray, Father, that challenge is real in all of our lives. God, purify our hearts. Purify our minds. Take us back, Lord, to that newborn faith. so that when we actually ask, we believe. And God, when we come up to a problem, we don't hold it and we give it to you. Put people in our path that haven't felt true love in years, God. Years. Whether it's convenient or not, Lord, bring them in our lives so that we can show them Jesus. I'm so thankful that you love us enough. God, all these amazing things that you've given us, Lord, you're patient with us as well so that we'll finally figure it out, God. I know you've been patient with me so many times for so many years. And I'm thankful for that, God. I want to pray your will in these amazing people's lives, God. Whatever problems they have, God, big or little, I pray, Father, help us to give them to you, God, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn some music on. If you want to pray, please, please pray. And I'll say this as well. If you don't know who Jesus is, I have some great news. Some really great news. I know him. And we will tell you about him. Please find somebody up here. There's a lot of people that are pretty good at praying. But like I said, if there's something, if you're good, you're good. You're good. But if you want to pray about anything, please, please, please come. We're going to pray. If you've got some stuff that you've been holding on to too long, come up here and we'll pray for you. We love you. Be blessed.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.